So why are we called before God when we bring offerings and to Him to do it in a cheerful manner? And that seems to be very important for Him, that we do this not begrudgingly, but cheerfully. One of the principles that we can answer this question is found in Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, and starting in verse 24. There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. And verse 25, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. You know, where we invest our efforts demonstrates, obviously, where we truly hold value, what we consider important in our lives. It shows in the natural world, and it shows in the spiritual world. And this is very evident, you know, as I say, naturally, if you give a child a Fisher-Price piano, the sound that that child makes banging on that toy is completely different than the late Vladimir Horowitz playing a piano. Why? It's because Vladimir spent his life preparing, his life becoming better at what he did. He valued his abilities. And it showed, it demonstrated throughout his life. He was one of the great pianists in the world. We know our investment is no different, spiritually speaking. How we grow is equally evident to God by how much we're putting into our spiritual development. And He desires, obviously, that we follow Him and that we grow spiritually to our fulfillment, the best that we can, the best that He has seen. It's the reason that we were predestined to be called, to given this opportunity in our lives. God knows that we can do it. It's up to us to show Him how willing we are to do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. One of the reasons why we are to be so cheerful in our giving. Second Corinthians chapter 9 and begin in verse 6. But I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad and given to the poor, his righteous endures forever. Skipping down to verse 15, we see why and what we're giving to. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You know, our cheerfulness should reflect how happy and how wonderful what God has given to us is in our lives. How thankful we are that God has opened our minds to have this understanding. You know, that indescribable gift that we read about is the reason that every one of us is here today. Our minds are opened. Our minds have been freed from the slavery of Satan, the slavery of sin, because of that indescribable gift, because of that sacrifice that God gave through His Son. You know, much the same way that God led Israel out of physical slavery, God reminded them what He did for them and to remember that in their offerings. In Deuteronomy 16, starting in verse 11, you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow who are among you at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. And those statutes are further elaborated on down in verse 16. 3 times a year all your male shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. You know, brethren, we were all slaves to sin until God opened our minds to his knowledge, until he gave us that Holy Spirit, until we were freed from Satan's sin, or Satan's slavery. You know, but that change of heart requires an effort, it requires something of us. To be slave to something pure is what we're aspiring to, something that is greater. We are slaves to God when we give up being slaves to Satan. And that's not something bad. 1 Corinthians 6, we understand the sacrifice that God gave through his Son to us and why it is upon us to pay back, or not even pay back, but to honor God with what he is, this indescribable gift. 1 Corinthians in verse, or chapter 6 and verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are slaves in that respect to God. We have, because we have opened our minds up, or because God has opened our minds up and we have opened our lives up to follow after God, we are to be slaves to him. Romans 6 and verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And brethren, that is who we are. We are slaves to righteousness, slaves to a godly way of life that doesn't put us in bondage, but that sets us free. Well, brethren, God loves a cheerful giver, as we read, when we gladly accept our calling and rejoice in the opportunity that God has given us, each and every one of us.